Future Proof Extra from News Talk.
Now, when it comes to the obesity crisis facing many developed nations across the world, it can be easy to be reductive about it. Just eat less, exercise more, or just cut out the junk. But what if there was something going on inside your brain that meant you never felt satisfied? What if you felt hungry all the time, no matter how much you ate? How could we fight such a primal urge? Well, Dr. Morin Shalev-Benami is from the Department of Chemical and Structural Biology and a PI at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel, the so-called Nobel Prize factory. She joins me now. Welcome to the program, Morin. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm very good. And when we talk about obesity, typically in on the radio, we rarely talk about neuroscience. Talk to me a little bit about your research, why you're interested in this problem and how neuroscience can help.
All right. So I am interested in neuroscience and my lab is working to decipher how our brain works. And we are doing this in a little bit of a different way than other labs do. We're looking at the really tiniest details of the brain. We're looking at the proteins in the brain and we're trying to understand how individual proteins in the brain are working to make the brain as a whole. So if I'm honest, my interest did not start with obesity. We were interested in the brain and the obesity actually came later. And it came to me because I gave a talk about what we do in the lab. And then after the talk, about 2 years ago, came to me a medical student and she introduced to me the story of a family that is like extremely obese. So I have never met this family. My student met them a few times and she mentioned that they're extremely obese. Of course, it comes with some additional diseases and comorbidities. Of course, some of them suffer from diabetes. The problem is that they're also constantly hungry. They are hungry all day long. It's not something that you just ate a meal and after an hour you get hungry again. You're hungry all the time and it doesn't matter if you just ate or not. Most of these people cannot really sleep at night because they wake up hungry all the time. So it really impairs their life quality. Of course, their BMI levels are extremely high. We're talking of BMI levels that are sometimes above 80, which is completely extreme. And this affects any daily activity. So this is how it started. She came with this story and she said that she knows that the common thing about all the family members that suffer from this disease is that they all have a mutation in a protein in the central nervous system. And they all have the same mutation and the same phenotype.
Wow.
This is how it all started. And she told us the story. She introduced us the overall case of the family. And she asked whether using the tools that we're using in the lab, we can help her and help them understand like what's going on. Why this protein, when it malfunctions, like why do we get suddenly so hungry all the time? And also, of course, if there is anything we can do about this.
So most people don't experience, I suppose, weight gain in that way. For me, I know I've been putting on weight over the last couple of years, and it's not because I don't feel full. I keep eating because I like what's in front of me. I like what's on the plate. But this family seems like a really interesting use case to explore satiety and how we feel full. Is there sort of a gradient upon which we all sit in terms of how active this protein is and how easily we feel full?
So the protein that is going through a mutation in this family is solely expressing in our brain. And this protein is like this super master molecular switch that basically determines whether we are hungry or full. So it sits in the brain in this very special region in the hypothalamus that is basically in charge of collecting all the signals that are coming from all of our body organs that are important for energy expenditure and metabolism. And basically this part computes our energetic balance in the body. And then it sends signals that are received by this protein.
Wow.
So basically this protein could be activated or deactivated by these signals. And this activation and inactivation basically tells the brain like, our energetic status like high and then we feel full, we don't need to eat anymore, or maybe we didn't eat for a while, we exercise, we burn some energy and we really need to get hungry in order to fill up the gap.
That's crazy. And you know, I guess neuroscientists are always looking for something like this, a perfect target To be able to control appetite or other things in the brain, because often there's, as you say, like, you know, our brain is so complex, there's so many different signals coming from all over the place, you couldn't influence them all, but having one central place that tells us if we're full, is there's huge potential in that, right?
There's huge potential, and it's true, because basically if you target this receptor, you can target it both ways, meaning that you can, for example, if you activate it with a drug, and this is something that is already happening because there is a drug that was approved by the FDA earlier this year, exactly to target this receptor. So if you target it with a drug that will activate it, you can cause people to feel full. And that means that you can basically bypass any other organs and any other body organs that are involved in metabolism. This is great because you can target it directly. And you can do the other way around, by the way. You can also inhibit this protein, you can inhibit this receptor, and you can induce hunger in people. And this is very important, especially in people that are suffering, for example, going through chemotherapy, and sometimes they lose their appetite. So this is like a great target for both directions. But on the other hand, if you think about this, the problem is that because it's this master switch and it's just the one, so if this master switch is broken, then that means that there is nothing you can do about it in most of the cases, because you cannot go and bypass it.
Right. You can't hack it if it's not working.
Right. So if it's working and functioning, then you can use this to bypass any other things in the way upstream to this receptor. But if it's broken, then it's very hard to repair it.
That is, that's a pretty crazy idea. Have you tested manipulating this protein in humans, or is this work just in mice so far?
No, so, I mean, we haven't been doing experiments, not in mice or human in my lab, but this protein has been studied for many, many years. And there are several studies that actually collected the sequence of this protein in different people. This was done in the UK, and they collected samples from 500,000, half a million people. And basically, they tested their BMI, their body mass index, and some additional factors that are that are correlated with obesity. And they compared the sequence of this protein. They compared whether they have mutations or not. So this has been studied, and it has been shown that many mutations in this protein can cause other, like, extreme obesity, or on the other hand, they can cause some very low BMI and also food disorders in people.
Okay, so have we then cured severe obesity for anyone whose protein switch isn't broken?
So not yet. I mean, in a nutshell, yes, people are losing weight using this particular medication, but the main problem of these medications yet are side effects, which are quite severe. So this is one of the things that we would like to try and avoid and study. The main problem is that this particular protein is a part of a large family of proteins, and they have some similar traits. And what we really need to do now is to understand what is similar and what is different between the different family members, so we will be able to really target only this protein and not other proteins from the family to really avoid some side effects.
When people have a poorly functioning protein, is it always that they feel hungry, or does it manifest itself in other ways as well?
So it depends how it is broken. So when the protein is broken and it malfunctions, meaning you cannot activate it, you cannot switch it on, then they constantly feel hungry. But there is the other way, where the protein is hyperactive and it's constantly on, or more on than in normal people. And then these people are like full all the time, and they just don't want to eat anything, which is also a problem.
Tell me about the work in your lab and how it has advanced the research of this protein.
So my lab expertises in electron microscopy. And we use this microscope in order to really look at proteins in 3D. And what we've done in related to this protein was to determine a very, very high resolution structure of this protein. We almost see how different atoms in this molecules are connected together. So basically, by just looking at the protein, we were able to really give rise to understand how this protein works. And an important finding that was in the research that we did not know before was that this protein does not only bind the hormones or the signals that activate or deactivate it, it also have an additional helper, an additional cofactor that binds to it, and it's calcium. And this was something that we did not anticipate when we started the study. And apparently there is a very strong connection between the calcium concentration to the activation level of this protein by the different signals.
Right. And so by understanding this 3D structure, it gave you a good understanding of what's causing it. Hopefully that research will then help us have fewer side effects from drugs like setmelanotide.
We truly hope it will, but we will also have to tackle the other proteins as well to see, to pinpoint those differences between the different proteins in order to try and design something that will be more specific.
Okay, so weight gain isn't just because of subconscious decision-making within us, right? That this receptor giving us signals that we're full, that's not the only thing that determines whether or not we take on more calories than we should, or is it?
No, so there are additional mechanisms in the brain. I mean, this is the basic mechanisms that is required for survival. But today we're living in this world that we have everything, and we also eat with our eyes, you know. So, for example, when you smell a food and when you look at the food, you get hungry, and this is not related to how much energy you have in the body and what is your metabolic state at the moment. So there are additional factors that are not related to this signaling pathway, and we still are not sure how exactly this works, like what other effects are there. So this is definitely something to look at.
Are there equivalent master switches for other, I suppose, parts of the human condition? Is it unusual to find a master switch for something that essentially turns hunger on and off?
I would say I was quite surprised that there is such a master switch that you cannot really bypass, because usually we have everything at least in duplication, you know, to protect in case something doesn't work, then we have another one. And it's true that, of course, as anything else in our genome, we have this protein in two copies. So, for example, if you have mutation in just one of the copies, then probably the phenotype either will not be there or it will not be as severe. But in this particular case, in the case of this family, for example, they have two different copies. And even if one copy is faulty, then you can see the difference like right away. Yeah, they get like extremely obese and extremely hungry. So I would say I'm a bit surprised that such mechanism cannot be overpassed.
How easy is it, once we've identified a protein like this, to develop a drug that has few side effects and can manipulate this consistently and accurately? This drug that you mentioned, how well does it regulate this activity, and how well does it work in terms of getting someone to stop eating when they feel full? Is it something that you can easily just stop taking the drug and return to normal, or is it still a work in progress?
So for people suffering from obesity and extreme obesity, and currently this drug is only given for people with extreme obesity that is coming from genetic reasons, meaning that one of their other proteins that are involved in these pathways is faulty. The thing is that it's a chronic drug. We need to take it for all the life. Like for people with such a case of obesity, like they have to take it all their life. This drug particularly is given by injection, so it's not something that you can just, you know, take in the morning as a pill and just continue your day. Mm. So I guess we're still not completely there. I guess it will take time to get there, but I think these are really good news. Like it looks like the weight loss from using this drug is really helping a lot of people, and I really hope that they would be able to make it better.
Really interesting hearing about the hunger switch in our brains. Dr. Moran Shalev Benami from the Weizmann Institute in Israel, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.